to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Crow, and with me this month is my co-host Thaxos.
Hey, hey.
With us is Frost.
What's up, guys?
Tobias Creed.
Hey.
And Pinocchio.
Hello.
Fair bit of Mercs news for this month.
Mercs news!
So first up, we want to give a warm welcome to our newest app team member, Vay Oyer.
I think. Vera.
Oyer. Yes. So congratulations to Emma on her position. Looking forward to seeing how that goes. I'm sure she'll make an excellent contribution to the team.
She's been doing great.
Yep, exactly. She's got an exemplary kit, so it may only make sense. As well, we've got two Ororamacad that were mentioned for this month. Misha Kitty has received the Ororamacad induction for February.
She does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Especially for the social media aspect of things, she's very active, getting a lot of really good, solid content for the Mercs Facebook page. She's very diligent about updating that and making sure everybody sends the newest, best photos and cool stuff for us to share.
She's also been a contributor to the Mercs Quarterly Battlecry magazine and quite an active member of her local clan, Urinar Verda clan. And Nala Vakchi has become an official member. She had been given Ororamacad pending official membership back at Celebration Europe for all of the hard work that she'd done. So congrats to the both of them.
Indeed.
For both of these recipients, if you want to read the full details, there is a thread over in the news section. Continuing on with more Mercs news, we've also got some web updates. I don't know if people saw that yet or not. That would also be in the news section. Actually, I believe all of these things can be found in the news section. So to save the trouble, it's check out the Mercs news section. Top couple threads should have all the info. The web updates, we've added a couple new things, including a clan locator page. Basically, it lists all the various different clans we've got in the Mercs. Most of the clan logos are up. If there's a clan logo still missing, chances are someone's not sent something into the art team, so bug that person to do so, and we can get it up ASAP. With the clan locator page, on that page we also have a quick guide on how to use a new clan search function on the forums. That is something that we've added to every single official member. They've got a clan profile field. That's something that's entered just by the administration, so it's not something that you can actually change on your profile. And what that does is if you go and on the top navigation bar on the forums, if you hover over members, click search for members, unselect search by name, unselect search by email address, and you check the box search by clan, you can then type in the clan keyword and find all members in that clan. The keywords are located on the clan locator page. Apostrophes do throw some wrenches into the whole mix, so we've removed all the apostrophes in order to make sure that the search functions properly. And then finally, on the web updates, we've also reinstated the tutorials and templates page that had been down for a little bit just to get those updated. Some of them had been out of date, some 404 links, but those are all up to date now. So for both clan squad locator page and the tutorials and templates, those are both located on the home page, left-hand side navigation, the yellow links.
And all this was brought to you by ThaxBot 3000.
Yes.
No, all this was brought to you by the hard work of the various members of the web team.
And them too. Web team bots 3000.
And actually, we also, though most people have noticed, on the homepage, we've updated the rotational banners for the application and the requesting an invasion on the right-hand side. So you'll see some new faces or new helmets over there. Furthering in our Mercs news, we have a brigade marshal position that's open. Trishin Ordo has stepped down. He's done a fantastic job thus far on the cannon division. So they are now looking for a new cannon brigade marshal. Apps are due March 3rd. So if you haven't gotten it in yet, get that app in ASAP. As well, we're also looking for some scholarship committee members. So the three divisions that are being looked for are U.S., Outer Rim, and Canada. That one's in the announcement section. Same thing with the applications for the brigade marshal. Everything else is the Mercs news, though. Regional commanders, we've got the results in. So Doz Ordo has been elected as the original commander for southeastern USA, Bounty Hunter Q for northeastern USA, and Balin for south central USA. If, for those of you that hadn't noticed, we've split up the United States a little bit more for the eastern and central sections, just due to the number of clans, just to make the workload better for the regional commanders. And the north central section, we're actually going to be accepting nominations for that as Bedlam is stepping down in order to pursue something else in the Mercs. So talk to your clan leaders regarding that if they haven't spoken to you about that already. And finally, we have the State of the Mercs for 2014 has been announced by Mandalore, and that is also in the Mercs news section, so check that out.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. That's the only thing Brian has for us.
And ladies and gentlemen, check it out. We actually have a whole bunch of news for Star Wars Rebels. Now we
Star
actually
Wars
know
news.
Star Wars news. We know more about the show now. It's not just an Inquisitor picture that they showed us one time. We actually know things about people and stuff. And most notably, the thing that everybody is waiting for us to talk about is Sabine.
I am going with Sabine.
Sabine
is my preferred pronunciation.
Sabine, Satine, something like that.
I'm waiting for there to be an actual link between those characters. We'll see.
Sabine, the young and hip spray paint DeLorean.
Yep.
Now, I say that sounds derisive. I'm actually kind of okay with this. I feel like it's a nice way of them continuing that whole tradition that they started with the Clone Wars, and I know that that's a mixed bag. People are always like, meh, peaceful Mandalorians? That doesn't make any sense.
Those weren't Mandalorians.
There were...
We got Death Watch. Those were Mandalorians, at least.
I mean...
But they were Death Watch. And anyway, we've had that conversation before.
Yes, we will have that conversation / argument 99 times.
Because it's fun.
But this ain't one. So...
Yes.
Sabine... What do you guys think?
I honestly, I think she's, you know, definitely neat. The armor, the big thing that we've all noticed in the Mercs is it's a huge change. But
what's a collar plate?
But it's neat. I'm not saying that I really like it yet. I mean, I really need to see it, like, in motion before I actually can really judge it. Because all we have are, like, you know, 3 or 4 pictures of her in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the concepts and the still shots and.
Well, they had some video of her, didn't they?
I'm watching the video right now.
I'm watching the video. It's all stills.
Some of it was pre-rendered.
The video is actually not in her video. It's in the video for the other character, who we'll get to in a minute. But you actually get to see when they're in the cockpit and the Twi'lek is shouting at everybody else. Sabine walks in from the back of the ship and sits down.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, like, real motion with her spray painting stuff and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't like
the design of the armor, personally, but I'm okay with that. I don't like a lot of armor designs.
I think it'll grow
more
on
Mandalorians.
Me.
More Mandalorians are always good.
Yeah. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
That's my
now,
feel.
Is this like gauntlets, or is he just long gloves?
I believe they're just long gloves.
Okay.
With a lot of spray paint on them.
Looks like.
Yeah, it looks like her gloves sort of match her armor in terms of color, but it's just awful from the spray paint. O-F-F-A-L.
Like fish guts.
And yes, like fish guts. what do they call it? Back spray or something?
Back spray.
Anyways.
Overspray.
Overspray,
thank you.
Back spray, overspray, same difference.
But, so it looks like it's just sort of... In honesty, I feel like as far as the Mercs CRLs go, it'll probably get Montrost, where unless you are doing that specific kit, the things that are present on that kit are not going to be super acceptable. She doesn't have a COD piece either.
Well,
actually,
what do you know? We've got Anoki on the app team.
Well, there's basically just 2 pieces of chest armor from what I can see and a helmet.
Yeah.
And she's got little shouldery, collary, dealy bobs.
Yeah, she's got shoulder.
No backplate.
Fancy
split elbows.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I do remember I saw on the forums there was a discussion, people talking about her her armor, in that, you know, she's, you know, a spray paint artist, but she's also supposed to be a demolitions expert from what we've been told.
Yeah.
And I saw on the board someone was talking about how, I would totally have some armor like that if, you know, if I was Demolitions. Lots of dexterity, lots of freedom of movement. But have you ever seen a guy who does ordnance disposal for the army?
To be fair,
I feel like her version of ordnance, being a demolitions expert is a little different, because your job is to limpet things. You know, your job is, you're the guy in the hard hat in the blue jeans who puts the explosives in the building, not the guy with the
not the guy who has to take the
Michelin Man bomb suit.
Disposal suit looks like you're about to get mauled by a dog.
Puff armor man.
Yeah.
Oh, other sad news.
Makes me sad now.
Yeah, moment of silence. All right, moment's over.
We'll miss you, Harold.
Yeah, I would say that the one thing I noticed is that she has a Death Watch pistol.
Yeah,
I like
she,
that.
She does have
a little bit of carryover there.
Yeah, she has some Westar pistols. I forget the number. I always forget the number.
It's almost like they're recycling a few elements from.
I think they're the Westar 350s.
I think so, but I never remember. But her, she's also wearing a Night Owl helmet. It's got a very unique paint job, but it's definitely a Night Owl helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my take on it is basically, you know, we've got a new character who's Mando that's going to put us right back in the spotlight again.
Yeah, so I didn't
unfortunately.
Good for us.
Yeah. Well, that was just it, is when we heard about Clone Wars basically wrapping up, it was, oh, crap, you know, we're not going to see all this other Mando stuff that was supposed to be coming down the line that people had hinted at. But now we've got, you know, a new Mando figurehead in the sense that it'll keep Mandalorians fresh in the minds of the viewers. Regarding the character, you know, it's a one-off armor design for that specific person. Mm-hmm. It's not going to set a precedent unless we saw a group of Mandos all wearing that same style of armor,
which
it doesn't set any sort of precedent.
I am worried they're going to do that, though.
I highly doubt that. And even if they did, then it would be a subset, perhaps. But
well, the thing I imagine that what we are going to see is we are going to see more Mandalorians, because she's one of the like five titular characters, that means that out of a series with 26 episodes, she'll probably get 2 episodes dedicated to her character development, which means that we're going to learn about her family and thus about her culture, and thus we'll probably see them at some point, which means that we're going to see more Mandos. Now, what that means, we can only speculate wildly. but I suspect that up until we see a very specific... up until we see all of that, that she's going to be Montrost, which is that you can only do the costume if you're doing that costume. Mm-hmm. And even if we do see a group of Mandos who look exactly like her with her strange armor, they will probably get Death Watched, where you have to do their exact armor. They are non-compatible with the custom Mando CRLs.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet the concept art team just said, we have a young character, we don't want to pile her up with plates.
That's exactly what it is.
If you look at the paint job, it's actually a really nice paint scheme on the armor, and it kind of fits the character just for what they're going for. You know, just be kind of hard to sell that, oh, she's covered in head to toe in armor. So I understand what's going on, and I'm cool with that.
They wanted to make her the spunky punk rock thing.
Well, I've seen a lineup of some concept art of her general armor layout, and it does run the gamut from basically full on stormtrooper armor to what she's got now, with an intermediate set of what is essentially modern era plates.
So perhaps we'll see her upgrade at some point.
I mean, it's certainly possible, and I mean,
pants. So I mean,
yeah, exactly, she got pants.
Mm-hmm. Pants are always good.
Yes.
And a shirt.
Yep.
Yes.
But we do have actually a whole bunch of other characters too.
We do.
Yes.
Most notable for me is, I still can't pronounce the dude's name. I'm just going to call him Cowboy Jedi.
he really is. He's got the vault jumpsuit going on.
But Freddie Prinze Jr. is going to essentially be the primary good guy on Star Wars Rebels. as Disney puts it, Cowboy Jedi.
And I'm hoping what they mean by that is he's actually going to use his blaster a fair bit, because it makes no sense for him to run around swinging a lightsaber on every single planet he goes to, because that's going to be a gigantic glowing beacon of saying, "Hey, Empire, I'm over here.
Yeah. Please shoot me."
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping he's going to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I hope that he turns out a lot like Kyle Katarn, actually.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Because that was what Kyle Katarn was known for, was additionally being the best lightsaber duelist in the world. Galaxy, whatever.
Yeah.
He was also just known for, unlike most other Force users who do, you know, the whole Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. Oh, it's an uncivilized weapon and stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, Kyle Katarn was like, I don't know, man. It shoots people, and then they get dead. So maybe we should use this as a dead maker.
I did like that about the vast majority of the Dark Forces series games. You actually can go through most of the game, barring some boss battles, without actually using your lightsaber.
Yeah.
Concussion rifle.
Yeah.
I miss those games.
Oh, they were so good.
They were so much fun.
Oh, rip LucasArts. Rip.
Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of games, but I believe Attack Squadrons is still in beta, so I don't know who else here is playing, but I've been playing. It's pretty fun. Is anyone else playing, though? Attack Squadrons?
No, we're not.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, you can shoot me a beta if you want.
I think it's open beta now, so if you just go and register, you get a key right away.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Seems like effort, though.
Or closed, as in you have to register, but open otherwise.
Yeah. And we have yet another character. This one is interestingly named Hera, and I pointed this out earlier to the other podcast guys before we started recording, that we also just had Juno Eclipse from the Force Unleashed saga, and that's the same person. It's just the Greek and Roman names for the same guy, who's a pilot and serious and spunky and stuff.
Yeah.
So, except now she's a Twi'lek.
Yeah, now she's a Twi'lek.
And actually
this
a rebel.
This is a very spunky crew from what we're seeing.
Yeah,
well, that's why they got Chopper.
That's right. Yeah. They're spunky.
We've got John Wayne the Jedi. We've got West London Rebel, the Mandalorian.
Yep.
We have X-Wing flight suit, the Twi'lek.
We have a Beast pilot. Man.
Oh, yes. Beast Man, because no Star Wars is complete without...
Yes, that whatever. Would be... For the actual name, that would be Zeb, and they're calling him the muscle of the group.
Who looks a lot like the Ralph McQuarrie early concepts
yes.
of Chewbacca.
Yep,
that he does. Saying.
Oh, yes.
I'm not
it's
sure
like
what...
Them 70s concepts.
I'm not quite sure what species he's supposed to be otherwise. Perhaps he's a
something
new
they
species.
Made up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually how they do in Star Wars, is just anytime you need a species. Hey, it exists, we promise. There's a humanoid orca. That's an actual thing, by the way.
It is.
Probably. I wouldn't be
No,
surprised.
It is. They're a race in the 3.5 conversion for Star Wars. I can't even remember what they're called, but they could breathe underwater.
Zeb is from an as-yet-unnamed species. They have not even
He's new.
Told us what he
new
is
New species.
Yet.
Yeah. And then we've got also Ezra, the, quote, street-smart hero.
I.e. the protagonist identity character.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of actually interested in Ezra, because, I mean, it seemed like it's like a young Han Solo in my mind.
More
Anybody?
Or less, yeah.
No,
well, he's got a, I see it. He's also got a ship that looks kind of similar to the Falcon.
It looks a little like the Y-22K, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's along the same lines of some sort. Yeah,
yeah it's still, yeah, although, still I mean, very it, much a disc with engines at one end, tubes on the sides, gun turrets in the middle.
They'll probably call it a YT-1935 or something.
Although I'm wondering if Hera's going to be piloting that.
Yeah, I'm on the Wikipedia page. All the stuff I'm pulling from is just right on Wikipedia. But they say that it is a modified VCX-100 light freighter made by CEC, same folks who make the Falcon and all the other YT series.
There you go.
Not Han Solo has the not Millennium Falcon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Apparently the ship is owned by Hera, so she's the Capitan. Though from what I've seen with having like a Jedi and this Ezra dude on board, I don't think she's really going to be making a whole lot of decisions.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
So, interestingly, I'm actually kind of wondering what's going to happen if. Because Filoni is in charge of developing this. And everybody give Filoni a salute, please.
Yes.
Filoni salute.
Yes.
He's been great for the Mercs.
He has been great for the Mercs. Every time we have ever run into him, he has been a perfect gentleman / awesome person.
Despite all of our terrible suggestions.
Yep, despite all of our
And he's been boosting the Mandalorians in general. So
and he's doing us another favor again with the Sabine.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten elevated from special story arcs at the end of pretty much every season to having a main character. So that's actually a real big deal, regardless of what we think about her armor, regardless of whether we think about she's a spunky person in a crew of spunky people. It's a Mandalorian who is the main character who's going to get screen time every single episode.
Exactly.
So the way I see it, help me if I'm wrong. So like Hera, Kanan, Ezra, and Zeb, and Sabine, they're on the same group, and then...
And don't forget Chopper.
And Chopper.
And Chopper. And Chopper, too. Because we know Pinocchio loves Chopper. And then
yes.
You got...
Yes, I love the concept.
And then you have the Inquisitor, who's on the bad guy's side. Am I right on Sabine? I feel like she might... Yeah, she's...
Yeah,
okay.
Sabine she's is definitely a member of this particular crew.
She's the explosives expert of the group. So hopefully she'll be playing a decently large role. I'm sure they'll be busting into a whole bunch of places, so she'll be having to blow up all sorts of things.
Oh, sure.
I hope that they manage to have the Inquisitor... If you guys remember way back in yonder years, when they had they were doing the original season of Clone Wars, and General Grievous was basically the bad guy every other episode.
Right. Yeah.
And there was just some serious General Grievous villain decay, because it was just every single time he's like, I'm going to destroy you all with my giant pink ring of doom shooter.
And wait, I'm going to run away now.
Yeah, and oh no, it's time to run away and cough up a lung. Like...
Yeah, it really didn't do the character justice in that regard.
No. He's probably the least well-used character in recent Star Wars history.
Outside of the Clone Wars, I'd say he's a pretty awesome character. But
no, even within the Clone Wars. Like, if you look at just Episode 3, like, he does some cool stuff, but ultimately he shows up already crippled and then loses. He just gets shot.
He was best used in the original animated Clone Wars.
Exactly, so yes. Cool. Yeah.
But anyways, off of General Grievous. Yeah. But I'm really hoping that they manage to not do that with the Inquisitor. Like, if they just sit around and have him issue
every now and then.
To some, like, have him have a couple of failure lackeys, like Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yes.
Like, have him have a couple of people who are able to get things done. Because if they do the show properly, they'll create the sort of sense of, like, the sense of the rebels are running away from things.
Yeah, I'd much rather see the Inquisitor more of a Vader type, where he's going and telling other people to get the bad guys, or the good guys, rather.
Well, that's
Boss Hogg going to get them up. Duke Boys guy.
Yeah, like, anytime he shows up, the Inquisitor shows up, the dude should bust out a lightsaber and kill everyone in the room.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens with Darth Vader, if Darth Vader pulls out his lightsaber, everyone in that room who does not have a mile thick of plot shielding is instantly dead.
Yeah. Is Darth Vader going to have to choke him?
Yeah, exactly. That's what was so cool about Darth Vader's character, and that's why you're like, holy crap, the Force is like a nuke, man. But then you have massive villain decay over the Clone Wars, because they have to do it every week. And so I'm hoping that they will sort of gravitate back towards that, where...
The big bad is actually scary.
A villain is best when he's actually gets a chance to succeed every once in a while. Like, take the entirety of Empire. That was just Darth Vader laying down the law at every turn.
Yeah. And he's also laying down the smackdown, too.
Even in A New Hope, I mean, the first thing he does, busts into that ship and kill pretty much everyone.
And just starts choking people.
Yeah, like, for most of the original trilogy, like, everybody wants to be as far away from Vader as possible, rebels and Imperials alike. It's just like, no, that... Like, they spend most of... Well, the entirety of A New Hope running away from Vader until they actually hit the Death Star. So, let's
And
just
even then,
do
on Empire, they're running away from him again.
Well, and even then, when they're fighting him on the Death Star at the end of A New Hope... They're still like, oh crap, because Darth Vader just shows up, he's got his two little TIE fighter buddies, and he just kills like 9 rebel pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what, I'm just going to murder all of these people, which is why Biggs and everybody else are such a huge joke.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it's like, Darth Vader just kills everybody all the time. That's all he does is he kills, kills, kills.
And that's what makes a good villain.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not mindless killing, but certainly a villain who poses a credible threat.
And succeeds in his goals. On some of the occasions.
And then wasn't it when Vader got into Echo Base? Isn't that when everybody's like, yeah, we got to get out of here?
Yeah, that was like the last. Okay, stop packing stuff. Just get on the ship.
Yeah.
Well, for example, this was always something I appreciated in Star Wars Galaxies. Anytime you ran into Darth Vader, if you ever engaged Darth Vader, you died. He hit you for like 9 million damage and you died.
Yeah, regardless of your level, regardless of your gear.
Yeah.
He just ended.
He's Vader.
Yeah.
He walked up, gently bopped you on the face with his Nerf bat, your heart exploded and you died.
As it should be.
Getting back on track with the rebels, though, I think it was Crow that had made a brief comment there regarding, or maybe it was Tobias, but regarding between Kanan and Ezra, that Hera the pilot wouldn't really get too much say on what's going on. I think that actually won't be the case, considering Dave Filoni has been quoted as saying Hera is kind of the heart of the group, keeps everyone together when they would otherwise fall apart.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean she's calling the shots. Because, I mean, anytime you stick a Jedi on board any ship, the Jedi just automatically decides the plot, intentionally or unintentionally.
Well, he also says she's a very strong-minded character, so maybe there'll be a lot of heated debate between them.
Yeah, but there hasn't been a single character on the show that they've revealed yet that isn't strong-minded.
Have they stated what their duration is going to be? Are they doing 30-minute or hour-long episodes? Do we know?
I believe it's 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, if it's 30-minute episodes...
It's airing on Disney.
Yeah, if it's a kid's show, it'll be 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if it is a 30-minute long show, it's very likely we won't see that. It's probable that there will be a brain. There will just... I mean, think about your Ninja Turtles cartoons. Mm-hmm. There's a brain, there's a brawn, there's a funny guy, and then there's the person who calls all the shots.
And then there's pizza.
I would hope that they don't necessarily have the Jedi calling the shots all the time, though, just because, I mean, the Jedi are practically wiped out. They're no longer really viewed as, by most people, the savior of the universe who, you know, oh, what do we do? Ask a Jedi.
Mm. Well, ideally, in my mind, I would actually, if we're going to run another... ensemble comparison, I would actually like to see the Jedi be Thor of the Avengers. Like, everybody knows the battle scene where they're fighting the Chitauri in the end of the Avengers movie. Yep. You've got Thor and the Hulk. So you've got Mr. Unknown Alien being the Hulk because, I mean, look at him.
Yeah.
And then you've got this other character who is the Jedi, who is Thor, you know, who's imbued with awesome magical powers and a weapon that could smite foes.
Yeah.
Which
Force Lightning.
Yep.
And Force Lightning, Freeze Lightning! then you would have, you know, some other characters who have different abilities.
That complement the group, yeah.
That complement the group, but don't necessarily, like, determine everything. Now, obviously, there would be sort of a head character, and I'm hoping that it's either going to be not Han Solo, or that's Ezra, possibly Hera. I hope it's one of those two. I don't know how it's going to turn out, obviously. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I'm mostly really interested in just how they do the first episode. Like, are we just going to... I'm just waiting to see, are we thrown in with this crew already assembled, or is the first couple episodes going to be the sort of Kurosawa assembling the team sort of thing?
The scene opens over a planet, and there's a large... Empire ship chasing a smaller rebel ship, and this doesn't.
Well, is that just a teaser, or is that actually the first episode?
No, I was going to make a comparison.
He was paraphrasing A New Hope.
Oh. Yeah. No, I wasn't saying New Hope as that. I mean,
I'm
more
sure
of
it'll
like
pan down to a planet at some point too.
Oh yeah,
more of, you know, like Han and Obi-Wan and Luke and Leia and they all meet, you know, in episode 4. So I was thinking maybe it was like
that. Has anyone considered they might spin off? They might do if they manage to go to 3 seasons. I would not be surprised if Disney threw out a movie.
I'm actually kind of
like
surprised.
An animated movie?
I'm kind of surprised they're not starting off with an hour long, hour and a half long.
Glad they're not doing that again.
They could start off with an hour long pilot episode.
That didn't work out so well the first time.
But starting off,
better not do that.
Maybe they learned from that.
I just meant more that Disney does that. They have a tendency to show off. They will put shows on their networks.
Mm-hmm. If it's a moneymaker,
yeah, and if it runs for three seasons, they'll churn out a movie for it.
That wouldn't be too bad.
Or they'll take a feature film and make a TV show from it.
Yeah, well, and then I was thinking that's actually kind of an interesting premise because Disney was saying they plan on leveraging the IP, and I think this may have been what they were talking about.
Could be.
That would give them an aside to... It would give them dual access to the franchise. It's just like how Marvel is trying to have a cohesive storyline, but they're also trying to publish three movies a year.
Yeah.
Because it makes a ton of money. So I wouldn't... And obviously you can't... You just can't make a Star Wars movie in a year.
No.
So they're going to have to start up other franchises to generate new films from.
It does seem like Disney is drinking the elixir of spinoffs.
That's kind of been a business model for Disney forever, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are three Aladdin films, and there was an Aladdin TV show for a brief period.
There's like 9 Winnie the Pooh movies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I meant more that I think that... I kind of hope whoever is in charge of doing Marvel's business model is going to be in charge of doing Lucasfilm's business model.
That's
great. Yeah.
I think that would be an excellent way for them to utilize the IP.
Well, I think they would go that direction. I mean, it only makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they're going to go with whatever's going to make money, and that one works.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, we can hate whatever films are generated by the franchise as much as we hate episodes 1 and 2. So if we don't like them, we can just ignore them.
Yeah,
worked out pretty well so far.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, what about that holiday special?
Which one? Who?
What?
And
Boba Fett, where?
Dang, I can't even remember. But so I think that ultimately we've got bright things on the horizon for us in terms of Star Wars and Disney's production value. And hey, they kept the entire Clone Wars team, so
yeah. Speaking of Clone Wars.
Yeah. They're doing us a solid and giving us the entirety of the Clone Wars on Netflix to start with. And by entirety, I do mean all 5 seasons and the stuff they haven't actually released for us yet.
Yes, the 6th season they're calling the Lost Missions, which is going to be the wrap up of what had previously been planned on being released in season 6, which should be a glimpse into the various story arcs of the Lost Missions, which will be
Darth Maul.
Apparently. Wait, is it Darth Maul?
I'm hoping because that was the biggest, most unresolved thing of the
of the
5th season. Darth Maul is still alive.
He's still alive. He's still kind of running the super space commandos.
Yes.
Well, not the super commandos. Super.
I still haven't seen season 5 yet, so I've been looking forward to this.
Spoiler alert, you're gonna like it.
Yeah.
What you do see, you're gonna like, but it doesn't have an ending yet.
The interesting thing is that with Maul still alive, that does leave the possibility for that one comic where Maul has cybernetic legs, goes to Tatooine, and fights Kenobi when Luke's a young kid.
But they took his cybernetic legs off.
They gave him different cybernetic legs. He can get another set.
Yeah, there's not one set in the entire galaxy.
I mean, the whole thing was that
look was designed. His original look was designed based off of that one Star Wars Tales comic.
Mm. Yeah. And him being alive, you never know, it could happen in some form or another.
Yeah, I mean, weirder crap has happened in the Clone Wars already, so...
This is true.
Why not? Really?
Yeah.
Magic to make the legs, so they can use more space magic to make others. Why not?
Yeah, it's true.
What I had read in terms of the content for the Lost Missions was that we would see Yoda communing with Qui-Gon and being sent on a journey. Jedi Master Plo Koon discovers Sifo Dyas's lightsaber and a clue to the creation of the clone army, and as well Count Dooku looking to protect the secret of Order 66. So he's alive still.
See, a couple of those things confuse me. Like, okay, Plo Koon discovers Sifo Dyas's lightsaber and discovers the secret behind the clone army. But that's all stuff we secret. That's stuff that we already knew, though.
Yeah, well, that's stuff that we knew, but I think what they're doing is they're going to resolve, because the Sifo-Dyas stuff is all from comic tie-ins.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think what they were trying to do is probably bring it into the mainstream, because honestly, we all know what a Sifo-Dyas is. But if you, there is that line
in the movie, yeah.
Episode
yeah.
two.
But other than
like,
that,
Master Sifo-Dyas and all that stuff. But like, people who watch that now have literally no idea what that is.
Yeah.
And they're just like, okay, that must have been a word I missed. And they ignore it and move on.
Yeah. And then the two other things that they've got listed on this one site I'm reading. Surprise, surprise, Anakin Skywalker rescues Padme Amidala.
Again.
Oh!
No.
And Mace Windu battles multiple foes.
Again?
Oh, yes.
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
He's never done that before.
See, I don't know. I was actually very happy with the amount of Padme that's in Season 5, in that it's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, and the few times she is actually in Season 5, she is doing her job as a senator and not running around trying to be like Black Widow to make another Marvel quip.
I do look forward to having those on Netflix and probably all the Star Wars fans, because we won't go to troops anymore. We won't hang out with our friends anymore. We'll be like, we're having no life because we got Clone Wars.
Yeah, there's going to be a good month where no one talks about anything because we're all too busy.
Yeah.
Like, we won't have podcasts because we're too busy doing...
When is that coming out on Netflix?
March 7th. 6th or 7th.
All right, thank you. All right, I'll see you guys...
very soon.
Yeah, not too far off.
I'll see you guys on April 7th.
Well, you'll probably see you on April 9th, meaning you just watched everything in 2 days.
Mm. March 9th, you mean? Actually, yeah, that's probably not untrue, knowing me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been... Netflix is made to binge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Pretty much.
I need to resolve the whole Obi-Wan DeLorean storyline, because I haven't seen any of that yet.
I just pictured
Obi-Wan driving a DeLorean.
That was what I was thinking too.
88 miles an hour, Obi-Wan.
Now we're gonna
get some serious stuff.
Libyans. Or actually, no, it'd have to be the Geonosians.
now we're getting more into the Star Trek territory, where they have multiple timelines of going back in time.
You didn't just say that.
No.
I do think that our archivist Cajun should do an Obi-Wan as a Mandalorian costume, because he does look like Obi-Wan.
He could do it.
He could, maybe. You calling him out to do it now on the podcast?
Well, I've called him out. You know, I've told him before, but you might as well bring it to the forefront. If anybody wants to see our clan archivist, or not clan archivist, the Mercs archivist, Cajun, as Obi-Wan, as a Mandalorian, please PM him on the Mercs. And that's Cajun, spelled Cajun.
But
I feel like this is terrorism.
If we're getting Cajun to do that, what are you doing as a costume then, Tobias? What are you doing in return?
Well, I don't look like anybody from Star Wars.
So if you're going to PM Cajun to tell him to be Obi-Wan from Clone Wars, you need to also PM Tobias Creed and tell him what character he should be and what he most resembles.
You know, I am going to be working on something here soon. We got to figure out a social society.
Oh, jeez.
It will top elegant Mando Tea Society. It will top all those.
You're not going to do like a hipster Mando or something, are you? I got to ask.
Oh, no. Welcome to this edition of Creed's Corner. This month I'm going to talk about the feels of armor, which means when working on armor, it does bring that sense of accomplishment, because you are creating something, and that something goes to good use with charity work and bringing a smile to a kid's face. But there is something more about armor that goes deeper. Number one, getting down and dirty. You'll be covered in Sentra, Bondo, paint, sweat, blood, tears, all that kind of stuff. And then you go out into public wearing your hard work. I remember one time I went to dinner and I had paint covered all over my hands. And just the other day, someone asked me if I was a construction worker because I had paint all over my hands. There was a little bit of pride in that. Number two, social life or lack of. When I first started my Mando, I didn't have much of a social life. No significant others, and I didn't work that much. I didn't feel like going out, and I didn't want to feel like a sore thumb because I hate being out in public. So I was working on armor in my garage. It's not a sad thing. It's kind of a proud thing. It was comforting, and it felt right. Number three, focus. I can't tell you how many little need-to-do Mando lists I had around my room or in my pocket or saved on my phone. Everybody has one of those lists, and you're bound and determined to get something completed on that list. So when I got out to my garage, I'd throw music on and crank out what I need to do. Number four, distraction. Did you have a crappy day, crappy week? Add one of those. Working on armor took my mind off of the crappy things. It was just me and some plastic in my garage all by myself, and whatever was bothering me was left behind. I'm going to throw out a quote here from Attack of the Clones, brought to you by Anakin Skywalker. Life seems so much simpler when you're fixing things. You can translate that into life seems so much simpler when you're working on armor. That's what I love about it. Maybe that's why I'm going through a major upgrade again. It was also a distraction for the crappiest winter I ever had. In 2009, there was 22 inches of snow in like 1 month, and I hate winter, so it helped me keep distracted from that. So, do you have anything like that at all to share, panel?
I would say yes. I mean, I've always liked, I mean, it's a lot of the feels of the armor, for me, it just comes from just making stuff. You know, how it feels just good and cool to have something that you've made in your hands that not only you think looks cool, but other people think looks cool. Like, even if it's something that you never actually wear, like, I don't know how many props and whatnot for various costumes that I've made that I've never actually worn anywhere, but they'll go up on Facebook or something, and people are like, oh, dude, that looks real cool. So, I mean, you definitely get a little bit of an ego boost just from making something that looks cool.
There's a lot of pride involved in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Oh yeah. If you can take pride in something, even if it's just like a little bit of yeah, I did something cool today. I mean, it really does. Like you said, it really does turn your day around.
Definitely. Yeah. For me, I mean, definitely for the first aspect, just working on something, it's definitely a cathartic exercise. Mm. To be able to building something, and then, as you said, the end result of having it made and showing it off and people enjoying it, you know, there's the pride in that.
Yeah.
I actually found that this is with the Mercs, with the other costuming groups too. You know, regardless of what social life, how you rated it prior to joining one of the groups, once you're in the groups, I mean, there's a whole social life just with the Mandos, your local clan, which is absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed, you know, being able to go out to the events and seeing those friends just with the events, and then, you know, spending time after events and, you know, going out for dinner or just having a hangout, you know, a couple times a year or however often your local group does it. You know, it's a
whole lot of fun. I kind of missed that point right there, but
yeah, big social aspect.
Yeah.
This is part of it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And yeah, regarding focus, I mean, definitely, I feel like I got a bit better at project management, just in the way of, you know, making sure I was working with my time efficiently on building a Mando. I would say more so time management came into effect with the various jobs I had on the website side of the Mercs, but it definitely, you know, as you work on your armor, you know, you kind of realize whether or not you're spending too much time on one little detail that, you know, I got to get this perfect. You know, the perfectionist in me was always trying to make the armor look perfect, and then at the end of it, I'd go, oh, right, I'm battle damaging it. No one's going to even notice. You know, so you realize the validity and importance of time spent, and it absolutely was a distraction. You know, you could really just sink all your thoughts and efforts into this one project, not if, you know, get your mind off whatever else was distracting you.
Yeah, the aspect of learning workflow just before a convention, where you've got
yep.
one piece sitting outside drying with the spray paint while you're forming another piece out of Centra while you're working on this other thing, and it's just all the back and forth just to get everything done in, you know, small amount of time. You get to really be efficient. Mm. Everybody's had those days.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know that for me, and I do a lot of metalwork for my armor stuff, especially with weapons, but the armor itself, when I have made it previously, my current set I did not make, it was a gift, but when I have made other armor or other costumes, I always find that the fact that I'm out there sweating, beating on steel with a hammer is also very cathartic as well, because...
I can definitely just attest to that.
Yeah, you're sitting there with a hammer beating the bejesus out of something to try and get it to do what you want it to, and then when you finally get it to do what you want it to without warping, without tearing, and all of the little plenishing marks are gone and all of that, you definitely feel like you've accomplished something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You've gone from the feeling of literally beating something up, which is... It's a good thing that you can do when you are angry as well, because you can you literally go from the process of damaging something to creating something out of that.
Yeah, it's a creative outlet.
Yeah.
And then there's just the whole fact that you'll put this stuff on and wear it all day and not have it fall apart.
Oh, yes. And additionally, if it does fall apart, you know how to fix it.
Exactly.
Or if you don't know how to fix it, now it's time to learn how to fix it.
Yeah. Yep. You will learn.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, then.
Yeah. That was very lovely.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, please PM Frost.
If you need to talk about
it, he'll happily answer all your questions.
If you don't have any questions, please PM Tobias.
Yes. Now, for the record, I am taking a rather well-deserved break from looking at my PM box. So, any of you guys who do PM me, you're not likely to get an answer. Sorry, guys.
And if you guys want to order yourselves a ThaxBot 3000, please IM Thaxos. It is $139 for three easy payments.
That is $139 in Canadian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Canadian. So that's $12 bucks.
Yep.
I want one right now.
And if you want a half cape, please IM or PM Crow.
Who doesn't want a half cape, man?
Additionally, if you want Freddie Prinze Jr., please go ahead and PM Pinocchio.
I got him in the basement.
All right, guys.
We need to stop throwing each other under the bus.
Well, that is about all we have for the March episode of Keldabi Talk Radio. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next month, because we're going to have some exclusive Episode 7 trailers that you really do not want to miss. So, this is Crow saying goodbye for the rest of the podcast cast. Thaxos, Frost, Tobias, and Pinocchio. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm Tobias Creed saying goodbye for ThaxBot 3000.
ThaxBot 3000 says goodbye.
And this is Frost up the LA.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.